Almighty God, by whose spoken word all things came into being, speak to us this day, that we might be inspired by your Holy Spirit and drawn to follow and proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In his name I pray. Amen. Good morning. So today is the culmination of well over a year of planning and prayers and time and energy and effort in 1995, when St. Martin's was between rectors. The lay leaders of St. Martin's hosted a Faith Alive weekend. 10 years later, 2005, when Larry Gibson was the third rector of this wonderful parish, once again, an army of lay leaders hosted dozens and dozens of staff and 100 more members of our beloved St. Martin's gathered for another Faith Alive weekend. So here we are, 10 years later. And in my first few years as your rector, I heard time and time again from members who participated in the two previous Faith Alive weekends how much it meant to them, how it did not just open their eyes and hearts in more powerful ways to the adventure of the Christian faith, but how they experienced Faith Alive in a way that literally transformed them, changed their lives. Many experienced a deeper sense of faith and community. And many, in fact, though they had been active here in their church for all of their lives, many for the first time really experienced a faith that was real and deep and living, alive, we would say. So once again, here we are. I want to say I'm very grateful to Sid and John Gillette, who spent literally, perhaps a week, prayerfully deliberating whether or not they would serve as co-chairs for the Faith Alive weekend before they said yes. I'm grateful to our wise sage of a priest, Robert Waring, and our young gifted priest, Chad Martin, for agreeing to serve as clergy liaisons for the weekend. And, of course, I'm most especially grateful for the Faith Alive team, members under the leadership of Bill and Denise Stewart. Almost 100 in number. They came from all over the country. They also came from Canada and the Bahamas on their own expense. By the way, I'm feeling called to go to the Bahamas to experience a different kind of Faith Alive. And there are countless numbers of St. Martin's members who've hosted gatherings in their homes, coffee gatherings. They've served as the working staff for this third Faith Alive weekend. From the beginning, when we started talking about this, Sid and John and Robert and Chad and I have discussed and prayed what we hope this weekend would be about. Previous Faith Alive weekends focused really a lot on programming for the future, as people called, our forebears might have said, what are we now called to do? And that's always a good question to ask. But as we considered this particular Faith Alive weekend, one word kept coming to mind. Deeper. Again and again, we spoke of a general sense of hope that this weekend would deepen the relationships of our members with one another and deepen their individual relationships with our Lord. Over the last few days, many of you, almost 1,000 of you, have talked and prayed and sung and considered your faith. Some of you walk very closely with our Lord, some perhaps maybe hold him at arm's length. Some of you are hungry for something more this weekend, and this weekend has reminded you of that. Jesus liked to tell a parable about the love the shepherd has for all of his sheep, not just the ones who stick with the herd, but even the ones who wander away. In John's gospel, Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's why Jesus came to earth, to go after each and every one of his sheep. In the gospel lesson that Sue's read a moment ago, we read of the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. He is baptized. God shines down on him. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Jesus goes into the desert to be alone, to commune with God, to face Satan and his temptations, to be tended to and cared for by angels. And then when he emerges, he does so with a plain, clear, simple message. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus did not come to establish a church. He came to build his kingdom. One soul by one by one. He born, was lived, was died, was risen to reconcile all humankind to God. He came to make faith more than a noun. He came to make faith a verb, an experience, a journey. He came to make faith live in each of us. I wonder, my friends, do any of you feel like a lost sheep? Maybe you were on the path and you wandered off. Maybe you just kind of walk on the edge of the path. Maybe you've always looked at the path from a distance while at the same time longing, like the psalmist we heard Sheila read a moment ago, show me your paths, Lord. Teach me your paths. Jesus would respond to wherever you are, now is the time. Repent. Believe. At this point in the Faith Alive weekend, someone's supposed to offer what's called a witness talk. It's a be a plain and simple reflection on how specifically the one giving the talk came to experience Jesus Christ in a personal way. So here it goes. My wife said, you know, Russ, you have a tendency to tell this story in a way in which can last 45 minutes. So she said, nutshell is what she suggested. So here's the nutshell. Some of you were in my Sunday school class last week, and I talked a little bit about my growing up years. And I grew up in a home where we experienced divorce and blended family and lots of things with that. That created an unsteadiness in our family and an unsteadiness in me. And one of the steady places I went to was church. I was baptized in the Episcopal Church. Now, most of you know I have this wonderful Christian name, Levin's son of Levi. I'm a son of the Levite tribe of Jews, which means, as I've told you before, if the Ark of the Covenant were here, I could touch it, you could not. You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know what happened. But my grandfather, who was born in 1900, Adolf Edward Levinson, changed his name in 1933 to Alfred, legally, married the daughter of a Southern Baptist minister, and that was the end of that. So my father grew up Baptist, and he decided as a young man, shortly after I was born, to come into the Episcopal Church. So he was actually confirmed, and I was baptized on the same day. So I've never known anything but the Episcopal Church. And my first memory is of my baptism because I was 3 years old. I remember the water. I remember the feel of the cross of oil on my forehead. Russell, you are sealed by the holy baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. It felt kind of funny. I grew up in the church, was confirmed in the church. Like many in those days, when you reach the age of 12, we're all rounded up and invited to go to confirmation class. What judged our attendance usually was what members of the opposite sex also attended that class at age 12. But, you know, those things meant something to me. What I'm about to tell you doesn't mean that God wasn't at work before a certain time. You know, Moses had life before the burning bush. So a lot of things in my life came together. But as I got to the late 1970s, many of you remember this, in those days there were groups like Young Life that were very active, Fellowship Christian Athletes, and despite my Episcopal church, I heard lots of people talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They talked about it in a way in which they were talking about their best friend. Now, I went to church and I prayed my prayers and And yet I didn't feel or experience what they were experiencing. They were experiencing something different, something real. Well, being a good Episcopalian, I went to talk to my priests. And that probably started when I was 16. And through most of the year, my 16-year-old year, I would talk to priests. But then I started talking to other clergy and other pastors. And I had lots of questions. Those were the days when the charismatic movement was very big. And so I had lots of questions about that and speaking in tongues and all those kinds of things that were going on in those days. Don't worry, I'm not going there. Save that for Sunday school sometime. And I remember sitting next to a swimming pool talking with a campus pastor one afternoon. And I just had one question after another. And he finally looked at me. Earl Carpenter was his name. And Earl said, you know, Russ, we can sit here and do this all afternoon. I can answer question after question. But there's only really one question that matters the most. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? And I said, well, I've been baptized, confirmed, I go to church. He said, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Well, I think so. I kind of think. He said, well, think on that. It was pretty much that simple, pretty much that easy. Wasn't no arm twisting, no threat of hell and damnation. I got enough of that in other places. And I went home that afternoon, and I remember thinking, as he invited me to do all afternoon and through dinner that night, and I knew I wanted this relationship. So before bed, I closed my door, and I got down on my knees, and I prayed. I can't tell you what I said. I said something like, okay, Jesus, here we are. I want what these people have. I want to be transformed, renewed, born again, whatever it is. I want to have what these people seem to have in you. Jesus, I give my life to you. And I waited. You know, I thought there would be light or music or angels. Or Jesus would tap me on the shoulder and say, finally, nothing. So I got up and I crawled into bed and went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and something had happened. From that day, July 25th, 1979, to this, I've never known a day when I was not experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. Not one day. Now, there have been plenty of days when he felt as far away as the furthest constellation we could see. I was 17. I hadn't done much yet. This was before college. This is before I became an SAE. This is before I was social chairman of my fraternity. Frankly, the worst things I did in my life, I did after this. But I knew I had a place to take my sin. I knew I had one to whom I could talk and with whom I could pray. And in my worst moments and in my best, I was connected to God through a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. And while there are times he feels so far away, there are times he is as close to me as the person in the pew or as the sip of bread and wine. It changed my life. And I was born again. All those promises that were made in my baptism and confirmation were fulfilled. Faith Alive is a gift to the church, but it's not primarily about the church. C.S. Lewis, I'm going to give you two great Lewis quotes before I close. He writes about that. He says, the whole enterprise of Christianity is not about making more or good church folk. It's about making Christians. He says it's so easy to get muddled about that. It's easy to think about the church as it has a lot of different objects, education and buildings and missions and holding services. But the church exists for nothing else but to draw men and women into Christ, to make them little Christ. And if the church is not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It says in the Bible that the whole universe was made for Christ and that everything is to be gathered in Him. And we can become part of that wonderful present which the young prince of the universe wants to offer to his Father. That present which is Himself and therefore us in Him. It's the only thing we were made for. And there are strange, exciting hints in the Bible that when we are drawn in, a great many other things in nature and in our lives will begin to come right. The bad dream will be over. It will be morning. I need to say, not everybody comes to this in the same way. I fortunately married a wife who never in her life didn't know the presence of God. She just grew up in the faith. Some people come slower, some people faster. I'm a little type A. You know that. I'm a little type A. And I think God knew I needed a box. I needed to be able to say July 25th, 1979. Not everybody needs a box. Some come to it over a period of years. Some at their baptism. Some at their confirmation. Some at a Billy Graham crusade. Doesn't matter how you come, just that you do come. And so I'll leave you with one more quote. Lewis writes, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what He's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You know those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, He starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts, and it doesn't seem to make sense. What on earth is He up to? The explanation is that He's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting up an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But He's building a palace. He intends to come and live in it Himself. He intends to come and live in it Himself. Jesus wants to take the ancient faith once given to our forebears, to make it real in each and every one of us, that we may be born anew, born again, not just in the words of the Bible, but you can find those in our prayer book, transformed. And that's what it means to have faith that is alive. Jesus wants to live in you. That's it. Plain and simple. That's what the whole enterprise of our faith is about. So, those of you who have been through Faith Alive know what's about to happen. Those of you who haven't are really nervous right now. But this is what's going to happen. The Faith Alive team, made up of people from all over the country, are about to set up in different places around the church. We have about 30 locations where they're going to be there to offer prayers for you for whatever reason. You can pray for a sick friend or family member. You can pray for a relationship that's strained. You can pray for your marriage. You know you're addicted and you're ready to begin the journey out of that. You can pray that journey begins today. You can pray for forgiveness. You can pray for grief. But you can also pray to seal that connection between you and your Savior. And as you are doing that, we've got some cover music, so don't worry. It will require, if you want, nobody has to do this. I'll tell you, I'm going to do this because I have a prayer need today. And the priests aren't praying, it's lay people praying with you. But it will require that you get up out of your seat and go to that place and just say, this is what I need prayers for. And these people have been trained. They don't speak in paragraphs. They speak in a sentence. So don't worry. We're going to do that for about 5 or 10 minutes as the music plays. Then we're going to come back together, and as a congregation, we're going to renew our baptismal covenant. I'll say a word about that right before. But let's say you are having that little hunger. You've been off that path. You've never gotten on that path, and you're saying, I really do want to seal that connection. What kind of words might you use? Psalm 25:1. Our psalm today, the very first line is this. To you, O Lord, I will lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. That's about all you need to say. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. One final word is, going through this prayer time, these are songs that Tom's going to lead us. Tom Lynch, our song leader, is going to lead us, and they're in this Faith Alive prayer book, song book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the beauty and glory and majesty that surround us in this place. We thank you for calling us to be in relationship with your Son in a personal, real way. Help us to move from that place that we might define as churchianity to that place that we know only as Christianity. For Christ came to make nothing but disciples, little followers of Jesus Christ, transformed by his grace and mercy, renewed and empowered to go and be a light to the world. Give us the humility now to name before you in prayer our deep need. This I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.